Been talking about this idea of what it means for us to be in real relationships with our family members, our friends, those who we care about. We started off talking about this idea that there's this tunnel of chaos that we have to walk through. That if we live in fake, not real relationships, that means that people are not telling you the truth. People are only telling you the things that you need to hear, or they're not talking to you at all because they really don't care. That's most likely what it looks like to live over here in fake pseudo relationships. To get into real relationships where people are telling you the truth, that people have your best interest at heart, where they want to see you succeed at what God has got for you in your life, you actually have to walk through some chaos to get there. Because most likely the reasons why they're not telling you what you want to hear is because nobody really wants to talk about that. Because those are hard conversations. Those are hard things to talk about. So we avoid them at all costs. But when we do that, we live in fake relationships. So we talked about this idea of the tunnel and what it meant for us men. We talked about the stuff that men struggle with, our pride and the lust over the things that we want in this world and our jobs and all of the different things that we struggle with. And the women, we talked about how the curse the women had in Genesis chapter 3 is really the antithesis of Genesis 1 and 2. It was going to be wonderful to have children. They weren't going to be the bane of your existence. It wasn't going to be painful. But because of the curse, those things became true because of sin in our world. And he also talked about this idea that you guys would be subjected to husbands, not because it was supposed to be that way, but because of the sin in this world. So last week we talked about this idea of what it would take to put those two things together. We talked about marriages and actually the tunnel of chaos in the marriage is actually walking down the aisle to the front and working through the idea of what it means to actually outserve one another, because we're to actually mutually submit to one another. And what was funny about that is I talked about it being a kind of a contest. What would it look like if you would try to outserve your spouse over and over and over again? What would that really look like? Well, Noah and Tanya took it to heart. They're very competitive people, if you've ever been over to their house to play a game. So, like, you know, Tanya's out running an errand, decides to pick up something Noah would like. Well, while she's out picking up something, he's giving all four kids a bath at home, right? So they're just like, and then when Tanya gets home, she's like, darn it! He won! You know, because, you know, his was better than hers. And anyway, and that's a cool thing, I guess, if you're that hyper-competitive. But I don't think that's what I meant. But, you know, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. She just, if that's love right there. So today we want to talk about, I think, this is the most difficult relationship, I think, on planet Earth. And that's the relationship between a parent and a child. Some of you feel the pain of the relationship between a parent and a child. And there's reasons why I think it's the most difficult, but before we get there, I was looking for something that just really helped me understand. And this is actually from a woman's perspective, not from the man's perspective, but it really helps us kind of just bring home some of the stuff that we hear growing up, the phrases that our parents say, the words that we hear all the time. Then those are the words that we turn around and then repeat to our kids later on in our life. So we have this little video. It's a song. You have to read the words. So pay attention to the words. She sings it so fast. If you don't pay attention, read the words, then you won't be able to understand it. So read the long here and let's watch. She died on, that wasn't prayer. That was actually at a church, so, you know, you guys need to step up and start singing like that. That was impressive, wasn't it? So, but how many of those things have you heard before, right? Because I said so. Every one of them, right? Every one of them we've lived out. I'm probably still grounded right now. I'm only 37. I probably haven't made it to 40 or whatever the age was when my parents grounded me to. But I think the reason why this is probably the most difficult relationship for us to navigate is because it's different than other relationships. I mean, if you're a friend with someone, there's only really two ways to go, right? It's either you become closer and closer and closer and you become, you know, really good friends, or you just kind of stay on the surface and if you never see each other again, it really doesn't matter. I mean, I guess you get mad at each other and hate each other, but it's different than what happens whenever you're a parent. Because as a child, you're a complete and total dependent upon the people that are supposed to be taking care of you. Whether it's grandparents, parents, aunts, uncles, whatever it is, you're completely and totally dependent. And as a parent, generally speaking, We understand that this relationship is hopefully forever, that we're not going to separate from each other. Hopefully we'll be together for a long time. But there something happens as we get older as children. Well, all of a sudden, our parents become the stupidest people on the planet. Right? There's that era that we all live through, that they're dumb, they don't know what they're talking about, they're clueless. Now that song talked about iPods and all those kinds of don't text the table. Obviously nobody ever in this room would have told not to text the table. Maybe some of you have, but texting is pretty new thing. But it's the same thing, no? Right? They took away your Atari, or they took away your Tiddlywinks. I don't know what game that you played. I mean, pre-technology. But there's that difficult struggle between children and parents. Because if this relationship is done correctly, the job of the parent is to train, and it is the job of the child to leave. That's weird, right? When you meet people, you're supposed to stay together and love each other, and life is good, and you move on. But the kid, the adult-child relationship is different. You train, and then hopefully you leave. Hopefully, they leave. Now, they'll come back eventually and visit. When the time is right, hopefully they leave the nest. I mean, you see it in nature. I mean, nature, you watch birds kick their bird chicks out of the nest. Hopefully they'll flap their wings and fly. If they don't, they will hit the ground. And it may not kill them, and if it doesn't kill them, then hopefully nothing eats them and they'll be able to fly away. So what does it look like? Now that should be the healthy way we look at things. Healthy have relationships. We help them understand. We train them. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. And we'll have a good, healthy relationship with our children. What does it look like for it to be not healthy in relationships? And so some of these may be you, if you identify with this, I'm sorry. Some of them may be your parents. Or you just may have the greatest relationship and you just know other people like this. Well, the first one I think is when parents, I got parents and children one, so we'll go with parents first. When parents become the people who guilt their children into doing things. They guilt them. I read several books leading up to this, talking about this. One of the stories I read was about a family who everything was relatively okay, life is going good. The parents have a wonderful relationship with their son. Their son gets a job locally, gets married, has a couple of kids. Life is going so great and wonderful, and then all of a sudden the son gets transferred away, and all of a sudden the parents' health begin to fail almost immediately. Oh, I don't know about Dad. He's really doing pretty bad now. You're like, I saw him yesterday. He looked fine. You know, all of a sudden, the guilt becomes being laid on because, you know what? It's really about the parent and not really about the child. The adult males, I've seen this before too. Adult males force their adult children, their young adult children, in paths that really are not where their kids want them to go. I experienced this personally, not in my own relationship with my father, but when I was in college, at Texas A&M, I had a freshman in my unit whose father refused to let his son pick the school that he was going to go to. If he was going to pay, he was going to go to school where I went to school, Texas A&M. And he was going to be a part of the cadets. Why? Because his dad was, and his grandfather was, and his great-grandfather was. And heaven forbid you break that cycle. And so this poor guy felt like he had no choice but to go. It's a tragic story because he killed himself. Because he couldn't let go of what he wanted, but he didn't want to be here either. And he forced him to do it. But then there's the child side, the children who take advantage of loving parents. You have those people, you know those people, you may have those people in your family who are always talking to the parent, always wanting something from them. In my own family, my dad had six brothers. There were seven boys. The baby always wanted something from my grandmother. Always. Now my grandmother had seven boys, and they were all over the country. Some of them were in Germany for a while. So she got her little car, and she just started driving around the country, visiting her kids. Which is a great story. But when she got to my uncle's house, all of a sudden she stopped traveling. Because he wanted the money that she had. So she started giving it to him. To the point where she was getting sick because she was diabetic and he wasn't buying the insulin for her. And you're like, you know, want to go over there and smack my uncle. He'd have been my brother if I'd have been my father. But he was taking advantage of his parent, of my grandmother. There's another story I read talking about a parent, or a child who wanted to please their mother over their own spouse. This man who could not turn loose of the relationship. And I guess there was sickness on the mom's side and the son's side both. The umbilical cord just never got cut. Just never was cut. He never could turn loose. And to the point where he valued his mom's opinion over his wife's opinion. Now, do you think the wife really felt valued in that relationship? Right? I mean, we could probably watch 1,000 Everybody Loves Raymond episodes, right? That's what that whole show's about. About how the mom knows more than the wife. Yeah, the worst thing you could ever say is, you know, my mom never did something like that. That would be the dumbest thing you ever said, guys. So don't ever say that. My mom didn't cook it like that. So the mother couldn't cut loose of the apron strings, and the child, the son, wasn't able to release it. So again, they're in these fake relationships. That's not really the way it's supposed to be. Then you got the kid who still lives in the basement. He's 300 years old. His mom still does his laundry, still eats the food out of the refrigerator, still has their parents walking around cleaning up behind him. They pay all the bills and he sits in the basement playing PlayStation 3 all the time. Some of you going, man, that's a sweet gig. I wish I had that. But again, that's not healthy. That's not a healthy relationship. That's not the way it's supposed to be. But how do you get from those things? Because those things are full of all of these difficult situations. There's just so much baggage and junk that you'd have to actually walk through and have those conversations. But I think they're valuable to have. But they're not easy. That's why I think this is the most difficult relationship that we have. The most difficult things that we can do. So these are not simple. These relationships are multifaceted. There's baggage on the kid's side. There's baggage on the parent's side. And it's all getting jumbled up and nobody knows whose bag is whose. But I think where the tunnel in Scripture I think we can look to, I think that helps us understand what it's supposed to look like, you can find in Proverbs chapter 22. It's just one simple verse. Now we're going to be all over the place because I don't believe the Scriptures actually have one spot where they talk about raising children and this is the definitive way to do it. But there are several places that it talks about that. So we're going to look at this first one in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. And this, I think, helps us define what it means for a child and a parent to be in a good relationship together. Verse 6, it says, "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." Now, it doesn't say train a child in the way you think that they should be going and the job they should have and the wife that they should marry or the daughter, you know, the husband they should marry. And then that's not what it says. If you were to actually break it down and go in and understand what the words mean in the Hebrew, basically what it means is this. Train a child in the way God wants them to go. Train them up in a godly way. And when you do, they will go the way that God wants them to go. It's not about the relationship between the mom and the child, or the dad and the child. It's about how do we prepare our children to be all that they can be and all that God has for them. How can we do that as parents, as grandparents? So there's another place in Scripture I want you to turn to in Ephesians chapter 6. We'll stay there for a few minutes. That there's some definitions of roles. We'll start with the parents first. Ephesians chapter 6. It starts with children, but we'll talk about the parents first. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on this earth. Fathers, do not exacerbate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So the last passage there talks about fathers, but it applies to all of us. Fathers, parents, train up your child. Do not drive them crazy. That's what exacerbate means. Do not drive your children crazy, but instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6 says the same thing. We've talked about it a bunch, where it says, write the words on the door frames of your houses. Bind them to your foreheads. Teach your children as you're laying down, as you're going, as you're walking, as you're talking, as you're doing, whatever you're doing, train your children. So for us to be in a healthy relationship with our children, we're to be their instructor, their teacher, their trainer, and what it means to be brought up in the Lord. That is our responsibility as parents. That's our job. Now, there are lots of times that we get bogged down because of our own junk in our relationship with our kids. A lot of times, I've had family members, so this is true about, that they're about to get divorced, and what happens? She gets pregnant in hopes of saving the marriage. And then that child then becomes this unhealthy link between the mom and the dad. And generally, that doesn't end up working. Because that's not what the role is about. Our role as parents is to train our child. Set up boundaries. Teach them. If you want some good training, go read Proverbs. Just go read it. Get it in a version that you can understand, and it begins to teach you what it means to have wisdom, what to tell your kids. Bring them up. We read Proverbs 22. Train your child. Help them set boundaries. Help them to begin to understand what it means to have boundaries, healthy ones. Healthy ones with other people and relationships. Healthy boundaries in their money. Healthy boundaries in their eating. Healthy boundaries in the relationships they have with their kids and their spouses. That's what we should be teaching our children. That's our job as a parent. Because here's what's true. Generally speaking, when in doubt, we generally revert back to what we learned as a kid. When we need something, we go back to what mom said or dad said or something we learned along the way. That's what we do. And if we can set them up early, and begin to help them understand that, how to bond with each other, we'll have done our job. That's our job. Because this relationship is different than just a friend relationship. It's different. Our job is to raise them up, train them up, and when it's time for them to leave, we pray that they will go the right way. Now, Proverbs chapter 22 doesn't promise that they will go. Because we all know that our kids don't always go the way we think they should go, right? They don't always go the healthy direction. But it's not our choice. It's theirs. That's, again, why this relationship is so different, is they get to choose. The biggest struggle I had in youth ministry was when a mom would walk in with their 14 to 17-year-old child, make them sit down in my office, sit down next to them, and then begin to beg me to fix them. Because they're at their wits' end. There's nothing else they can do. They've obviously messed everything up. You fix them. And it's impossible at that point. It's not my job to fix your child. Guess whose job it is? Parents, train your children. So at 14 to 17, guess what? You're done parenting. At 14 to 15 years old, it's now just you're guiding. You're guiding at that point. You're helping them along the way, making good choices, helping them. Sure, you have to help them help set boundaries. You're going to teach them some stuff, but generally speaking, they're making their own choices. They're out there with their friends. They're out there without you. You're not around anymore. And that was so hard for me to sit there and go, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to tell you. There's not a quick fix, a quick pill for you to take, and then poof, your kid will become some compliant, wonderful son who will fall at your feet and call you blessed. That pill doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. So our role as parents, from the beginning, from early on, and the reason why I wanted to start with this is because there's a bunch of little kids in our church right now. A bunch of little ones. You may be grandparents of some of them, but we're on the beginning edge of a lot of this stuff for us. Don't have a lot of teenagers right now, but it's important for us to begin to understand that our role as a parent chiefly is to be their teacher, their trainer, begin to instruct them in the ways of God. It isn't to be their best friend. It's okay to be your child's friend, but that's not your role. Your role is to be their teacher and their trainer. So what does it say about the role of children? Ephesians chapter 6, again, says, children, first thing it says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, that you may enjoy long life on this earth. Now, the Hebrew people were very serious about obedience. Very serious about obedience. If you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 21, if you don't want to turn, I'll just read it to you. Very serious about this idea of obedience. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18. Says, this is talking about a rebellious son. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of his town. They shall say to the elders, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a profligate and a drunkard. Then all the men in his town shall stone him to death. Now that's some serious understanding of obedience. But I don't think the point is that the person was stoned to death. I think what they wanted to make people understand was it is important to be obedient. It is important for our children to be obedient. I know most of them are not in here. They're in there with Noah. So we want to be obedient as children, but then there becomes a day where what happens, when does it become not obedient anymore because you're an adult? There again is the difficult point in life. When do you become the adult and you don't have to obey anymore? Have they ever struggled through that with their parents? I personally didn't struggle with it with my mom as much as I did my dad. My dad was generally the heavy in the house. You know, if something went wrong, he was the one that took care of business. And so I struggled that with him. I can remember the very first time I ever actually talked back to him without there being a spanking. And I was 21 years old. And I was driving my car, and I got and my clutch burned out, and we were stuck. And so we were stuck, and my dad came to get me, and on the way to come pick me up so we can tow my car back, it starts snowing. So then we have to drive the car back in the snow, being towed behind another car. So it made it for a difficult, tense moment. And I can remember he was doing something I didn't like, because, you know, I was 21, and I think I knew better than he did. And so he started doing something, and I just got mad at him, so I was in the truck being towed, so I just slammed on the brakes. And he couldn't go anymore. So he gets out of the car and he starts yelling at me. And I yelled back at him. And he yelled at me again. And I just said, shut up and get in the car. And let's just go. It was like, my friend who was with me was like, I can't believe you just said that. You're like, and he just got back in the car and we left. And I was like, whew, I dodged that bullet. But that was kind of the beginning of our relationship shifting. Between being an obedient child, which I obviously wasn't in that moment, to being my own man who can then make my own decisions and my own choices. And I was already gone out of the house. I mean, I was 21, I was at college, I was doing my own thing. I mean, I was gone. But there was that moment, this transition, between being obedient as a child to actually doing what it says next. It says, honor your father and mother. which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on this earth. That's actually what the Ten Commandments say. It doesn't say obey your mother and father. If you go read the Ten Commandments, it says honor your mother and father. Honor. Because it's important that we remember that they are our parents. They are the people who helped train us, who helped raise us up. They actually have wisdom we can then go draw on later. Jesus actually scolds the religious leaders in Matthew chapter 15. If you go read, he's talking about, they're asking why, they ask Jesus why they didn't wash their hands, and he's like, why are you giving these guys a hard time? You don't even honor your own rules. And so what they had done is they had this system set up where if you had some money, instead of helping your family out, you could actually dedicate the money to God, and then you didn't have to actually help out your family. You could keep the money. And they set that tradition up. And he says, you guys are just full of it. You're giving me a hard time about this over here, but in reality, you won't even honor your own family. So as children, all of us are children. We should be honoring our parents. This should be something that we do. Now, you may have parents that are difficult to honor. I don't know. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But there's a difference between being obedient and being respectful. If your dad tells you that you should get a job and work over here at this business, but you don't want to, and you decide not to, that's not being disobedient. That's just you going the way you think God has called you. But it doesn't mean you disrespect your father because of it. We are to honor our parents. Because it says that it's the first commandment with a promise that we'll have a long and prosperous life. And I don't think that means that we'll live longer because we honor our parents. No, I think that means that we get to have healthy relationships with our parents as adults. How great would that be that you had healthy relationships, adult relationships with your parents? And then the last thing that children are to do, and I think this is true about us even today as adults, children, and you can find in Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. The whole proverb is just one big advertisement for seeking wisdom. It says, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For He guards the course of the just, and He protects the way of His faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and fair, and every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Direction will protect you. The prescription will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of the wicked. For men whose words are perverse, the straight path to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong, rejoice in perverseness and evil of evil. Those paths are crooked, and who are or devious in their ways, it will save you from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductions, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. For her house leads down to death, and her path spirits of the dead. Now who goes to her? None who go to her return or attain the path. Thus she will walk in the ways of the good men and keep the path of the righteous. For the upright will live in the hand. And the blameless will live in the land, and the blameless will not remain in it. And the wicked will cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn. So, walk in wisdom. Find wisdom in it. And we as children, our parents should be a place for wisdom. Walk in it, because it is a place where we can learn and know who God is, the knowledge of God. So those are the roles, I think, that should be obedient, but should also respect parents. And should parents, our role is to be teachers and trainers. But that's a difficult part of all that. What if you have parents that have no boundaries? Have no ability to talk about what they're doing and how they can give you wisdom? What if you are the child and your parent acts more like a child? If your parent is actually leading you and training you in spiritual guidance at all? And that's why I think this is the most difficult thing to talk about. Because again, this requires us to unpack this junk. We've all been there. We've all struggled with that. I struggled with my own story. With my own parents, and I've told this story a thousand times. I don't know if I've told it to all you yet, but I'm sure I have. My parents would never tell me that they loved me. And I was crazy as a person. I didn't understand why in the world they would be there. As a kid, I was to talk to them about that. I didn't want to say anything because then I would be scolding my own parents. I'd be parents straight. And who sets their parents straight? I wasn't taught that. I mean, why are you doing that, Dad? That was the reason. There had to be logic behind the reason. I said so was enough. So for me to go and then begin to question my parents, why did you do things the way, why are you acting the way that you are? I don't understand. Where is this from? I struggled with that. I was actually scared to actually say, I love you. Now how weird is that? It wasn't because of words, but it was because I was going to be correcting them. And do you really correct words? Okay? If your child came to you, and would you be okay with that? I mean, my wife, and she corrects me all the time. Just go, okay, she's fine. How do we begin to understand that it's okay? It's okay to be our parents in a different way than what we grew up with. Jesus did it. Mark chapter 20. If you go and read the story, Jesus is in the city, family lived, and he's miracles, and people speak against him. His family was at him, so they went to go get him. Said he's a little crazy now. They try to act Jesus out of the situation. They're going into the house, and his family tried to come get him. Listen to Jesus and says, parents or your mom, your parents are outside. Looks at the guys and goes, those are not my parents. You are my family. You're my mother, brothers. Jesus in that moment understood they didn't understand spiritually where they were going. They didn't understand. And the people that saw that moment, his brothers and sisters, in serving God, those are the people that God. And he says, right now, my family, you are. And it's okay. Now that doesn't mean that he's back on his family forever. If you go to the end of Jesus' life, hanging on the cross, looking at his mom, there, next to John, and he looks at John, John, this is your mother. Mother, this is your son. Each other. Out for his mom, even on the cross, for his mom. For James is one in the church after Jesus' birth. So he doesn't turn his family on his family. Jesus knew at that point he wasn't getting the support, spiritual support that from his family. He turned to the people that what he needed, and those were the people around him. People that were following with him. Hey, it's okay that you are mature than your parents. okay. It is. You don't feel guilty about that. I mean, it's true about you. It may be true about some. So for us, what are some things that we need to begin to do? What are some of those tunnel moments, those tunnel of moments that we need to walk through? And it's broken down in different places here. Parents of those young children, those of us who are raising young children, see yourself as a parent trainer in the things of God. Do you know what God wants for you? If what God wants from them is away from you, 1,000 miles, are you with that? Are you more about you? Is it about your struggle? What you want? Because that's what my goal is about. It's about teaching. If you have a child, like, begin to God open your heart to your expectations for my kids. Because a long ways from your hard right now. And Beth and I come to grips with the long, but it's more to do what God wants us to do than what mom wants us to do. My mom wants us to do what her dad wants us to do. Young children, you're training your child in righteousness. Of adult children. How do you turn to God to your children and grandchildren? What can you say to ensure the success of your children? How do you begin to identify the patterns in your family life when you were a kid and then begin to understand them and then understand them? Can you actually cycle yourself? Actually break that as an adult, a parent, a child. You have that conversation. What would it be for you to go to apologize to your child and say, that I lived through and I forced them to? That's the house right there. Be willing to be open and vulnerable. It doesn't matter who you are. As an adult, what have you lost love? Your own thoughts, direction in your own lives, and for what you're in your life. As an adult child, begin to identify the cycles of your family. Just like the adult parents and children to ask, how do you identify and confess sins? Move away from them. Just like with his family. They don't want to move away from that because they put me away. God has me. So I have to separate myself from the situation. You begin to confess sin cycle. And children, if you have that are little, don't let the same ones did in your parents and the parents did. Romans chapter 1, but I want to end. This is a point we can all hold to. And culturally, people who did this the first time, they would totally understand it. Because in the time of the Jewish culture that people had Bibles written to things, when they converted away from Judaism, most likely they would disown as a family member. Like the cultural, they would rip them, and they did dead. You know what they did. Them follow after we're not just after Jesus like parents do, grandparents probably, and you know, generations of them. No, followed was a sacrifice. And all of a sudden, they were dead to their whole family. So there's that Paul writes in chapter 8. All of us can hold, no matter who you are with your family, where you are as a child, parent, grandparent, but this is what all of us after Jesus Christ. Verse 2 says, therefore, obligation not to the nature, but according to, if we live according to the nature, but if you will put misdeeds of the Spirit, you will live. Those, here it is, those who are the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you receive it makes you a son of fear, the Spirit of sonship and daughter. By Him, Abba, Spirit and testify our spirit, God's children. Now if we are children, we are children, we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs of Christ. If we share in suffering, and that we may share in suffering. The reason why I'm with this is the reason of this, these relationships, these are the messiest we have. So many you've ever seen. They're just layer after layer. That's peeled back. It's not even stuff. It's your parents, your grandparents' junk. And unpack theirs, you can only unpack yours. So because it's so deep, so thick, the promise to hold on to is God the Father. You have special brothers and sisters who love walk through, it may not mean that we try and think better. Not be. Like my father might be. Undo that. God is our Father. And we are sons and daughters. Heirs with Christ. Remember that. As we walk through the tunnel. Worship team, we're in a song. I want to pray. Don't know where you are, don't know where child, don't know what kind of tips you have. I do so much. Love you. I want to be prayed. More than happy to come for you. Pray for a little struggling with. Come down and. I want to pray. God, I want to pray.